Oh, hi, I'm Kathy Wickard. I have no relationships to disclose. So before we launch into worrying about the future of CHIP, I did want to start by talking about some of the successes in children's coverage that we've seen over the last couple of decades. And Medicaid is really the big insurer for kids, but CHIP gets a lot of credit for helping reduce the uninsured rate in children over the last 20 years or so, partly because it's let states really focus on kids. And with the CHIP program in place, states were able to think about things like how to make enrollment and eligibility simpler to make sure that kids were getting enrolled. And those lessons then got used by states as they moved into enrolling adults during the ACA time. In addition, the way that CHIP was designed to look a little more like private insurance than does the Medicaid program made it easier in especially more conservative political climates for states to take up CHIP, and so really led to improved access for a lot of kids. And finally, CHIP has allowed states to focus on quality for children. The CHIP Reauthorization Act in 2009 included quality incentives and quality demonstrations to make that an explicit focus of the CHIP program. So it's APHA, and we got a broad range of people in the room. We'll do a little bit of a CHIP refresher. So CHIP is the Children's Health Insurance Program. It was established in 1997 to provide health insurance coverage for families with low to moderate incomes. One major difference between CHIP and Medicaid is the way that the federal funds flow. CHIP is a block grant, not an entitlement. So the federal government, like in Medicaid, pays a variable share of the cost for each child who's enrolled in CHIP, but only up to that block grant limit. So having that funding stream actually made the program very popular with both Democrats and Republicans, and made it also somewhat more palatable to families, because it's not seen as a welfare program in some of the ways that Medicaid sometimes is. Like in Medicaid, states have a lot of flexibility in designing and operating their CHIP programs in terms of what the benefits, the cost sharing, and the income limits are for people enrolled in CHIP. So like I said, there are some limits. CHIP is a very comprehensive program, provides great coverage for kids, but there can be cost sharing in CHIP, and federal law says it can't exceed 5% of family income. And it's also up to each state to set the eligibility ranges, the upper eligibility limits for their CHIP programs. So those are currently somewhere between 160% and 400% of the federal poverty level. So then thinking about the Affordable Care Act and how that has affected children's health coverage. For Medicaid and CHIP, one of the things that was written into the Affordable Care Act is called the maintenance of eligibility. So for children younger than 19 years of age, if a state had covered those kids before the Affordable Care Act, they had to continue to cover those kids after the Affordable Care Act, at least until 2019. The other thing the Affordable Care Act did was to extend federal CHIP funding until 2015. So remember, CHIP is a block grant, so that means it requires congressional appropriations to keep it funded and keep it running. So the ACA extended that federal funding for CHIP through 2015, and we'll come back to that because I know you're thinking, but it is 2015. So we'll come back to that in a minute. The Affordable Care Act also increased that match rate that the federal government pays for each person enrolled in the CHIP program. So whatever the matching rate was before ACA for a state, the ACA added 23% to that. So right now, the portion of the cost that is paid by the federal government ranges from 88% in some states all the way up to 100%. So in some states, kids who are enrolled in CHIP, all of the costs are borne by the federal government, not the state government. And then finally, Medicaid coverage for former foster care youth was extended to age 26 by the Affordable Care Act. Of course, ACA also had some well-known provisions for commercial and marketplace or exchange coverage that apply to kids. So maybe one of the more famous ones is kids can stay on their parents' plans until they're 26 years old. Another one that I want to focus on a little bit is sort of the middle bullet on this slide, which says that child-only plans have to be available via the exchanges. So the marketplace plans, the ACA says if there's a company that's selling a plan on the marketplace, they have to sell a child-only plan. So that is a way for a kid to be enrolled in marketplace coverage even if the parents are not. Maybe they have coverage through their employer or another source. So this is a way to make sure there's coverage option available for those kids. But there's not really anything special about the child-only plans. They don't have enhanced benefits. They don't have reduced cost sharing. So although they are there as an option, they're not tailored to children the way that the CHIP program is. And this graph just summarizes the coverage options that are now available in the post-ACA world. This is for a state that did not expand Medicaid for adults, which is where you see sort of the white parts that are still the gaps. But for children, there is a coverage option available to kids at every income level following the Affordable Care Act. Another provision of the Affordable Care Act that's worth mentioning is the essential health benefits. So plans have to include the benefits in these 10 categories, and there are some on here that are really important to women and children and families, and those are the ones in bold. I'm not going to talk in detail about these essential health benefits because Meg is going to cover some of that in her presentation, but just to know that they're there, and this is the first time that the federal government has sort of mixed in and said what needs to be covered by a health insurance plan. So what's kind of interesting this year is now we actually have data about where kids got their health insurance coverage following the ACA implementation. So most kids are still getting their coverage through employer-sponsored insurance, well, through their parents' employer-sponsored insurance, that's the orange part. And then there's another large chunk of children who are covered by Medicaid in purple or CHIP in blue. And then there's that tiny pink sliver. Those are the children who are covered through a marketplace or exchange plan. It's less than a million kids. And it's only 6% of all of the enrollees in the marketplace plans who are under age 18. So because of those small numbers, children have not been a focus for the officials who are running the health insurance exchanges. So we don't really know a lot about how they're doing. We don't know, for example, if families are able to afford the cost sharing that's required for those plans. We don't know if those plans are covering the services that kids really need to support their growth and development. There are probably kids with special health care needs enrolled in the marketplaces, but do they have access to the subspecialists that they need? So there's still a lot of unanswered questions about how the marketplaces are doing in serving children. Another thing to point out is that because the Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid eligibility, there were some children whose coverage shifted from CHIP to Medicaid. I won't go into the technical details of like who moved where that are on that slide, but just know that there were some kids who got shifted from one of these programs into the other, so they moved from CHIP to Medicaid. In some ways, this is a big benefit to them and their families. They get a more robust set of health insurance benefits. They get the EPSDT benefit, and they get lower cost sharing in Medicaid than they would have in CHIP. The other thing that happened is when we moved those kids from CHIP to Medicaid, the CHIP program got smaller. So there's been a question raised about if the CHIP program is getting smaller, do we really need to have a CHIP program? At the same time as that was happening, there are some children who are moving to getting their coverage through the exchange or the marketplace. And one of the things that we realized as ACA was rolling out is that there's an affordability issue built into the way that the law was written that's known as the family glitch. Some of you may be familiar with this, but it has to do with the way that affordability is defined in the Affordable Care Act for purchase of a marketplace plan. And affordability is defined based on the worker's income for an individual plan that they could buy through their employer. But if you've ever got health insurance from your employer and looked at how much it costs for individual versus family coverage, you know that the family coverage costs way, way, way more than the individual coverage. So just because the math works out so that the individual coverage is affordable to me, it might not really be able to afford family coverage. But the way the law was written, if my individual coverage is affordable, I do not qualify for subsidies to help me buy a marketplace plan. So we're calling this the family glitch. I'm trying to figure out what then happens to those children in a family where that would apply. In contrast, the CHIP program is much more flexible in terms of defining affordability. It's up to the state to decide what percentage of family income is affordable within the CHIP income eligibility scale. And most states allow families to enroll their children in CHIP if they are income eligible and can show that their employer-sponsored coverage costs more than 5% of family income. So that's a big difference from the way that marketplace affordability is calculated at 9.6% of income. So you'll remember that I said that the Affordable Care Act extended the funding for CHIP through 2015. Another law that was passed this spring extended the funding for another 2 years to 2017. And the higher federal match, that 23% bump, also is continued through that law. So now we know that we've got CHIP for at least another 2 years, but then we don't know what will happen to the CHIP program after that. And if federal funding for CHIP expires, it's pretty likely that the kids who are covered under CHIP now are going to have to move to another source of coverage. Some of them might be able to get onto their parents' employer-sponsored insurance plans, and others maybe would transition into an exchange or marketplace plan. So we don't really know what's going to happen. There's a strong national advocacy movement that is supporting and really promoting the continuation of CHIP, at least until that maintenance of eligibility provision that I mentioned at the very beginning that goes through 2019. They say, look, if it's, you know, let's at least make sure we've got the CHIP through 2019 and then see what happens. So there's a lot of support for adding an additional 2 years to what we have now. The thing is, though, for state officials that have to plan and run these programs, the two-year increments are quite frustrating. I mean, you can imagine that it's very hard to plan for the future when you don't know what's going to happen, whether that will be there, whether you plan to continue the program or you start trying to think about the transition issues instead. Something's got to happen with these kids, but we don't know quite what it's going to be. Some states also, and you might be from a state like this, does biennial budgeting. So you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay for coverage for kids, and your legislature only meets every 2 years to make those decisions. These two-year increments are really tough. So NAHPE has started some conversations with CHIP officials to start to think through what the future might look like, both with and without CHIP. So, my last slide. The goal, I mean, everyone agrees on the goal, is to make sure that the coverage gains that we've made for kids in the last 20 years are maintained. Some of the big issues that have come up in our conversations with CHIP directors, one of them is affordability. So maybe there's a suggestion that we could change the IRS definition of affordability so that it would account for family coverage, not just individual coverage. So fix the family glitch. But if you run out the math on that, it's going to make the ACA overall cost more. So that is, it's a logical fix, but it's not an easy fix. There's also a suggestion that maybe if the CHIP program as a program were to end, some of the federal funding could perhaps be preserved. So there would be a funding stream, and we're not sure what it would be called, but it could help offset the costs for the low to moderate income families who are moving from current CHIP program into a marketplace plan. And then finally, the thing that CHIP directors asked to everyone to think about was that there were some lessons for transitioning those kids from CHIP to Medicaid when the ACA was enacted that we should really study and look at. So if there is going to be a transition to a new form of coverage, you want to learn from those and make sure that that transition is as smooth as possible for the children and families who are affected. And we're going to hold questions to the end, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you.